Okay, so tonight I've been asked to speak on the power of prayer. But I'm hoping that, you know, this is the third week in this series of slightly more informal, interactive stuff, that can any of you say your prayer life's improved any, that you've been kicked along to improve it slightly? Yeah, that's good. I can go like that a little bit, you know, because it has given me a bit of a kick, but yeah, hopefully I'm going to give you a little bit of testimony as a part of this, but just to say, actually, if through the course of this, if any of you have any testimony, you know, I'm sure the likes of Dan and Emma and Louise would love to hear from you if by hearing any of this. And next week we've got the practical session with Dan, who's going to take us on to looking at how to pray, you know, with people, which should be good, because we really do want to develop a kind of a church that's comfortable receiving prayer and giving prayer for one another, you know, knowing that this is a safe place. And I'm sure, like you, I would love my prayer life to be more powerful. Wouldn't it be great if all our prayers were answered? You know, but I think sometimes we need to make sure it's thy will, not mine, you know, because I would love my overdraft to be paid off, but he's just not doing it. Probably because I need to be a better steward of my own money, maybe, God keeps saying. Joking aside, I just want to read from 1 and 2 Corinthians, because I think one of the most important things that's come across to me as I've been looking at this, because I've basically Googled power in the NIV and done a bit of a Bible study on every time power comes up in the New Testament, because otherwise I'd still be there for the next year, because it's actually mentioned an awful lot in the Bible. But it's interesting to look. But I think that we really, or my heart, is that my prayers have power when it comes to reaching the unsaved. That's where God is, maybe it's just calling me, but, you know, that the unsaved, because the greatest gift God has is that cross and Jesus and his resurrection power and the promise of eternity with the Father. And anyway, let me just read you from, this is 1 Corinthians 1, 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And then this is to remind us before I go into a presentation. I love the bit in 2 Corinthians 4 where it talks about us being treasures in jars. There being treasures in jars of clay, and we are those jars of clay. But I just want to start reading 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 4, to remind us when it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You know, when you read that and you're praying for an unbeliever, then you can say to the God of this age, "Get your hands off their eyes and off their heart, that they would see the gospel. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And then I love this. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. We have that resurrection power when we become Christians and we basically invite Jesus into our hearts and he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so to remember that he puts his power in us. It's not about us, it's all about God. So looking at the, let me just check that I am on. Looking at the slides, that's just the definition of power, the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. Obviously, that's just a worldly thing, but you know, we want our prayers to be powerful, we want them to be effective. And prayer is powerful because we are praying to God. I had a little look at the Greek in where the word power is used in the NIV. And this word, dynamin, is used for largely when it's against God's power. It's in one instance where it talks about not succumbing to Satan's power. But then further on, I also found that for some things where power is used, it's actually this exousia. But the normal word for this is authority. And they are too important and kind of go hand in hand. Because having power without authority is pretty useless, you know, in prayer. And as I'll read later, Jesus gives both. But the passage I've been asked to look at in this is one that you should all be fairly familiar with, and that is in Matthew. It's basically looking at the woman and the healing of the woman who goes and touches his hem of his cloak. But I'll just read this. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. The crowd, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" So basically, he's being jostled around as it is. There's loads of people there, but he knew somebody had touched his cloak and felt power go out of him. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed. Now, I don't want to get into the whole theology of healing, not healing, and all of that, because that's not the purpose here. The purpose here is to learn from this passage about the power of God. But I'd be more than happy to chat away about the healing aspect and not healing to anyone afterwards if you want to. So I picked up these keys from this passage about the keys to receiving the power of God. Basically, this woman had come to the end of herself. She was absolutely desperate. She'd done everything humanly possible in order to get healed. And she had literally come to the end of herself. She clearly had faith. Jesus said it was his faith in him. So she'd heard about him. She'd heard about all these miraculous things that he was doing, and she believed. She heard it and she believed. The source of the power, she went directly to it. She didn't ask someone else to go get him. She got up and went. And she was bold. She took risks. A woman at the time of the month had to stay indoors and keep away from men, because anybody who came into contact in the Jewish age with a woman who, you know, was having her monthly bleeding couldn't go near the temple without going through a whole load of ritual stuff. So if they'd have realized she was there, they could have stoned her. They could have, you know, basically got rid of her. So she was very brave. She was very bold. And actually, so it's the believing who Jesus was and what he was capable of and having faith in him. And in fact, Jesus tells us in John 14, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Again, there's a sermon series in itself there, because does he do everything that we ask when we're already saying, you know, sometimes prayers aren't answered? In fact, God's response to all our prayers, Dan always uses this when he gets asked the question by the youth about God. God always says yes or no or maybe. But he doesn't mean he does what we ask him to do, because we have to remember it's God's will, not ours. But God's response here was he knew what she needed. Not what she wanted, but what she needed. In order to live a life, she needed to be healed. And he gave his power away freely. So he didn't hold on to it. He allowed a woman of faith to struggle to come, touch him, and receive his power. I think it's interesting when he says he felt power go out of him. And I've always struggled with when people say, you know, you go to receive more of the Holy Spirit because you leak when the Holy Spirit's a person. But yet God's saying there that the power that comes from the Holy Spirit in you, the power from God, was being used up for good purpose, but being used up. That may change, may have changed my opinion, because I'd never noticed that before. But this is about a healing event. It's about a woman stepping out. So what's this to do with the power of prayer? Well, I think there's a lot to learn from that passage about how she got that power. And so we need to think about our prayer and our prayer life. And I think one of the good places to start is, why isn't prayer always powerful? Why doesn't it feel powerful? And so I do want to just look at opposition to prayer, that sometimes our prayer life can feel stale, can feel a struggle. And I know Emma says, you know, we felt we needed to do a bit of battling in worship tonight because stuff, as Emma says, theologically correct, stuff's been going on. But stuff does go on when, you know, you're having breakthroughs and you're trying to bring on God's vision. But sometimes the opposition to prayer can be our own sin. You know, it's good to check ourselves. I know week on week we always kind of do that confession within our corporate prayer time. But we do need to think about our sin, But we need to remember that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts us of behaviors or ways we're choosing to live that aren't in line with God's will for us. And so it's just a good to do a health check. Other people sin, and by this, sometimes it's obvious, and some people's behavior, and you know, we can be biblical and go challenge people in love, but also it's other people's sin against us, and it's remembering we should be forgiving them, and forgiveness is such a powerful thing. It's not because it's what they deserve, but we deserve the freedom from holding on to unforgiveness, and that can set us free and really living in a life of being able to forgive, or even being willing to forgive, because that's a place to start for some people, is a good way. And also there is the influence of rebellious demonic powers. We know that on earth we have this person who's in the background there because don't want to make him important or give him any credit. But basically he was defeated at the cross. But just like when Hitler, we knew that we'd won the war, there were still battles going on, and it took a while before things got sorted properly in the World War. And it's a bit like that. Satan still has dominion over those who aren't gods, and he doesn't like it when we get powerful in our prayers, when we grab hold to God's power, God's will, and start to see things moving. In fact, this quote from this guy, Dick Simmons, who's an American pastor, says, "When you give your life to prayer, your name goes on a bulletin board in hell." It's a bit flippant, but if you dedicate your life to prayer, then you will come up against opposition. So it's good to be aware of that. And Emma's going to remind us of what we need to do on a daily basis at the end of this. I've just put this story up because there was this demon-possessed boy. And basically his dad went to the disciples, asked them to come and heal him or deliver him. And because whatever it was causing him to have seizures and trying to basically hurt this boy. And Jesus comes along when they said, why couldn't we heal him? Why couldn't we drive this thing out? And Jesus replies, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." There's all these big things that Jesus is saying, you know, that the power that we can have in prayer once we've got faith. I've never tried that one. But there have been some pretty big things in life that have seemed insurmountable, and with God's help and God moving certain things around, it has worked. Now, I said earlier that power and authority are important to come together, and I just want to remind us of why that's important. There's a couple of points where Jesus sends his disciples out in twos, and this one in Luke was when it was the 72 that he sent out in twos. And they came back full of joy because even the demons submitted themselves to us in your name. But Jesus actually rebukes them. Because he said, "I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Because he brings us back to, it's not about him, it's not about that, you know, him and his minions. It's about the fact that you are mine, And we need to remember that when we come in prayer, when we come before God, when we come into whatever posture we choose for our prayer, that we are His. And I love this in John 17, and it's good to remember this. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was taken off to be crucified, prayed, and he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for his future disciples. And I love it in here when he says, you know, basically, I'm not going to be here for much longer. I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And further down it says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And I'm just sharing these passages with you because we want people to move in power, and sometimes you'll get opposition and niggles, or you hear things like this and you kind of go, oh, what's this about the enemy and how does he come? And don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that you are His, and keep pushing. Be bold like that woman. She could have been attacked, thrown into jail, or whatever they would have done to her if they realized she was a woman bleeding in public. But she went out there to get hold of that power. And so it's just to encourage us that Jesus has got us, you know, and it's our promise in heaven that is the most important thing. So I just want to tidy up my ramblings about what I think that are the keys to power in prayer. If you read other things, there'll be other different language used to what I've used. But basically, I think it's important that we know God's will in all circumstances. And how do we do that? By spending time in the scriptures and time in prayer and listening. If we don't know God, how can we know what He wants? And so spending time with Him is so important. Faith, to believe in Him totally. Work out your doubts. We all have doubts, we're human. Work them out with a friend. You know, speak to someone. Because it's okay to have doubts. Speak to God about them. Surrender. We've spoken about this before in past evenings, how important it is to have a posture of surrender, surrendering our life, surrender all of it, not just the pretty bits, because believe you me, God knows about the other bits that you keep from everyone else. I like the thing that I think Dan and Sam bought Louise for Christmas, is Jesus over the door frame thing. It's got Jesus and it says, I saw that, or I see that. I think that, yeah, I'm going to get one of those put over my door. But yeah, surrender everything, every part of your life. And to encourage you, if you weren't there here this morning, please listen to Nick's sermon on resources, because it was so good. It was really, really worth listening to, and that talks about surrendering all of your life. Share Him. You know, you've got this friend in Jesus. You've got this God. You've got this guaranteed eternity. Share Him. I am really excited. I'll share this bit with you. My next door neighbor, Roy, came to church with me this morning. And I mean, it's lovely because he's been on the grief course, so we kind of got to know a few people. And I was able to say, oh, Nick's preaching today, who does the grief course. And he came in church and he was absolutely bowled over by the worship. He said, next sermon's all right, you know. But no, he didn't. He was blown over by all of it. But particularly the worship, he kept going on about it, and he was quite tearful at the end. And he said, I don't know why I'm crying. I thought, I do. That side of the church is a hot spot, by the way, if you bring anyone to church. It is a hot spot. My sister came to faith there, you know. Beth came to faith there. And I'm getting Roy in there. Pray for Roy. He's going in for a hip op soon, but I'm going to get to look after him. So he needs your prayers because I'm going to be looking after him. Anyway, yes, so share him. We are called to make disciples. Walk in authority. Jesus has given us this authority. He says, I give you authority over everything. You know, so be bold. And if you ever want to read something that helps on, I give you authority by somebody. Ask who? Charles Craft, that's it. Brilliant book. And definitely if you're a bloke, because it really talks about, so buy one for your husbands or boyfriends. Talks about the authority status of the father over the household and helps tell you how to pray for your family. And I think it's really good. You know, and remembering he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And be bold, ask big. You know, he can only say no. So be bold and ask big. Precious Heavenly Father, help us to speak as the one who speaks the very words of God. Help us to serve with the strength that God provides, so that all things God may be, that in all things that we do, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To you, God, be the glory and the power forever and ever. I pray that the eyes of all of our hearts will be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you, God, have called us, to the riches and glorious inheritance of your incomparably great power for us who believe. Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. Lord, that power you exerted when you raised Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, we thank you that you have given us the authority to use that power in your name in prayer, Lord. Help us to be bold with that. Lord, help us today and for all our future days, grow us as a group of prayerful warriors, standing for your word, Lord. I just pray protection over everyone here right now, and I declare again, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come and comfort those who need comfort? Would you convict those that need convicting? Would you guide those that need guidance? Would you fall heavily on those that need your rest right now? Would you come with your healing powers, Lord? And may people be healed of things that they've come to the end of themselves with, Lord. Let us be a people who pray desperately for your help, desperately to see your power come in our area, to reach out, Lord, to reach the unbelievers. Bring us unsaved souls, Lord, that we may witness you and witness you saving them. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we're just going to have some music playing.